Good morning to you again. This is Brother Mike Sutherland coming to you once again from Hilltop Baptist Church in Newport, Tennessee. We are about to start the fourth in a series of broadcasts talking about the topic of abortion. What we have entitled this series is The Murder of the Innocents, The Abomination of Abortion. I've talked, been quite in depth in dealing with the scriptural part of this series of how God feels about abortion itself. Last week I got into a lot of the statistics that we see on abortion in the United States of America. And I told y'all at that time that 54 million babies have been aborted in the United States of America. The average in America since Roe versus Wade has been 1.3 million abortions. I'm going to go here in a moment and read some scripture. Once again, I've kind of opened up with this scripture every time that I preached on this particular subject. Just want to open us in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you allowed me to come forth from my mother's womb, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that my mother did not believe in abortion. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of life, Lord. I pray, Lord, now that you'll bless in the teaching and preaching, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll protect the unborn, Lord. And, Lord, we just want to praise you once again for the gift of salvation, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you saved me. I thank you, Lord, for the fact that I do not have to go to hell, Lord. I just want to praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 6 and reread the verses 16 and 17. In this particular chapter 6, God says that there are seven things that are an abomination to him. And he doesn't limit it just to those seven things, because the book of Proverbs has much to say about those things that are an abomination before God. Verses 16 and 17 of this chapter say there are six things. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And I want to repeat that again. And hands that shed innocent blood. I also want to go to you once again this morning and reread this scripture to you out of Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall surely be punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. And I told you, I've already told you that this, and I'm going to say it again. If a man does something to a woman, or if anyone does something to a woman to cause her to miscarry or abort her baby, if they do something to cause that to happen, then if the baby's miscarried and the baby lives, then the man is still to be punished as the husband determines and as the judges determine. It's the state that decides what the penalty is supposed to be. That's what the teaching of the scriptures is. And it also, the teaching of the scriptures is that if it uses the phrase mischief, and what it's talking about when it says mischief, if you read the rest of it in context, is that if that baby dies as a result of what somebody does to that mother, then life must be given for life. In other words, the death penalty is in effect for that. And I've already stated that we as individuals do not have the authority to go out and take justice into our own hands. It is the duty before God, the responsibility before God of the state to handle death penalty cases. It is they who should prosecute them. And just because the United States Supreme Court has legalized abortion, that does not make it right in the eyes of God. God still holds the state responsible for avenging the blood of the innocents, the shed blood of the innocents. And like I've said, we've had 54 million of them in America. And that is one of the most ungodly things that you can think of. I want to go... last week I got into a lot of the statistics And I also got into the some of the legal requirements of the state, requirements of notification, bans on partial birth abortions and stuff like that. I talked about those things. But another thing that we seem to neglect is that abortion is big business in America. It's big business. If I can find the scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 25, I want to reread this scripture to you again. And remember, abortion is big business in America. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. In other words, they're under the curse of God if they take money for slaying an innocent person. If you take money for murdering a baby, you are under the curse of God. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, this idea about abortion and money. Abortion is big business in America. Abortions in the United States of America cost at least $451 to perform. What that means is that the abortion industry in America generated at least $545,580,000 in the year 2000 because they aborted, 2011, because they aborted 1,200,000+ babies. So that means that they had at least that as a minimum. The figure that I quoted you on the $451 for the abortion does not include the what they call second and third trimester abortions. And second and third trimester abortions typically run about $3,000 to do that abortion. And there were over 105,000 of those performed in the United States in the year 2000. Now, Planned Parenthood is the largest single provider of baby killings in the United States. Planned Parenthood receives almost one-third of its revenues from abortions. Let me state that again. An organization that calls itself Planned Parenthood receives almost one-third of its revenues from abortions. And let me also state this, that out of the 329,000, I believe it was, that were aborted in their clinics, Planned Parenthood abortion clinics, out of those people that came to see them, they referred 851 people to adoption agencies. What is wrong in America when we will murder babies when we know that literally thousands upon thousands of people are looking for babies out there to adopt? That's what makes this thing so even more so vile and wicked than what it is. It's because we're killing babies that people would adopt and raise and love. Planned Parenthood receives 46% of its budget from government funding. From federal government, that's where they get it from. My tax dollars and your tax dollars. That is ungodly. It's wicked. The latest annual report for Planned Parenthood showed that they performed 329,445 abortions in 2010, with 31% of their revenues coming from abortion. That would be $148,250,000 that they received from abortion. Is it big business for Planned Parenthood? Absolutely. And remember, they receive their support from the federal government, 46% of it. Now, under Obamacare, that figure, that $148 million figure, is expected to grow to $1.7 billion for Planned Parenthood. And let's take it a little bit further. Under Obamacare, remember, Planned Parenthood is doing about a third of the abortions in the country. In America, they perform about one-third of the abortions. And for them, their revenues under Obamacare is expected to rise to $1.7 billion. Now, for the entire abortion industry, those figures are expected to rise to $7.2 billion for the murder of the innocents, for the killing of babies. They're wicked and ungodly. These figures that I just gave you on the $1.7 billion and $7.2 billion only apply when abortion is performed at 10 weeks or less into the pregnancy. Only. at 10 weeks. And a lot of these abortions, I quoted figures already in this series where the figures are real high on what I call late-term abortions. And now, currently, and I've already said that currently that those abortions run about $3,000. But under Obamacare, that those figures will at least double. Is abortion a big industry? Yes, it is. The killing of babies has been turned into a for-profit idea in the United States of America. And I want to tell you this too. The Internal Revenue Service allows taxpayers to deduct the cost of abortion as a medical expense. That's ungodly. That's vile. Now what I want to get into is I want to describe to you some of the abortion procedures that take place. I want you to get this in your mind of how torturous, how vile, and how monstrous this whole idea of abortion is. I want you to understand that. And if you want to get into some even deeper details, look at some pictures. Go to our church website. What I want to do is there's 9 different major abortion procedures that are performed, and most of them depend upon at what stage within the mother's pregnancy that the abortion takes place. Okay. These 9 methods are very early abortion, suction, aspiration, vacuum, cuterage. And number 3 is dilation and curettage. Number 4 is RU486. Number 5 is methotrexate. Number 6 is dilation and evacuation. Number 7 is instillation methods. Number 8 is partial birth abortion. And number 9 is hysterotomy. Not rectomy, but hysterotomy. Now, for a description of these, very early abortion is designed to be used as soon as pregnancy can be chemically detected. Using ultrasound, the abortionist locates the tiny human embryo in the womb and applies suction to tear the developing baby from the uterine wall. Now, suction, aspiration, and vacuum cuterage. This is the second method. A suction tube with a sharp cutting edge is inserted into the womb, and then the suction dismembers the body of the developing baby and tears the placenta from the wall of the uterus, sucking the contents into a collection tube. And I want you to hear that again. They dismember the body of the baby. The next method, number 3, dilation and curettage, and that's called DNC is what that's called. The body of the baby is, in this particular procedure, is cut into pieces and removed, and the placenta is scraped off the uterine wall. Now, I want to remind you that a DNC is also a valid medical procedure that is performed upon a woman that has miscarried, and it's done it's a valid procedure. It's done on a mother that had every intent to carry the baby to full term, and because of some medical reason was not able to. So a DNC is something, a medical procedure that's performed after that. But a DNC is also a procedure that is performed to abort a baby, where the mother's intent is to kill the baby. Okay, now the next method that I want to talk about is a couple of chemical methods. One of them is RU486. The RU486 procedure requires at least 3 trips to the abortion facility. In the first trip to the abortion facility, the woman is given the RU486 pills, which block the action or the natural action of her body, and what it does is it blocks the rich nutrient lining of the uterus. The developing baby starves as the nutrient lining disintegrates. That's what RU486 does. It starves the baby to death. And then at a second visit, 36 to 48 hours, the woman is given a dose of artificial drugs called misoprostol, which initiates uterine contractions to expel the body of the baby. And then a third visit about 2 weeks later determines if the abortion takes place. And in about 4% of the cases, it does not take place, and they have to go in and use a surgical procedure to remove the baby, the dead baby, the dead baby. Next one, the fifth procedure, methotrexate, is another multi-visit procedure. In the first visit, a woman receives an intramuscular injection of methotrexate, a powerful drug which is often used to fight cancer. Methotrexate attacks the fast-growing cells of the trophoblast, which are the tissue surrounding the embryo that eventually gives rise to the placenta. As the trophoblast breaks down, the baby dies as he or she is deprived of needed food, oxygen, and fluids. That's torture, folks. That's what that is. What if I'd done that to you as an adult? Think about that, would you? And also, in this particular procedure also, about 4% of those do not come to the abortion that the medication is supposed to perform, and they have to go in and do a surgical procedure. Now, next method, instillation method of abortion. After fluid is withdrawn, chemicals are injected into the amniotic sac to kill the baby and initiate contractions. Let me reread that. After fluid is withdrawn, chemicals are injected into the amniotic sac to kill the baby and initiate contractions. Saline poisons the child and burns the baby's skin. Other methods such as urea and prostaglandins mainly work by initiating violent contractions, but are generally less effective as saline is. And you know what saline is? It's a saltwater solution. What if for you as an adult, I took a knife and cut a place across your arm or somewhere and then took and poured salt on it? Get an idea of what that's like for the baby? It's like pouring salt into an open wound. That once again is another wicked and ungodly process to torture an unborn baby like that. Now, let me go on here a little bit further. Sometimes chemicals such as potassium chloride or digoxin are injected directly into the baby's heart, triggering cardiac arrest. In other words, they give it a shot full of something into the heart to kill the baby. How ungodly can you be? Now let's talk about idea. That was the insulation method, number seven. I skipped number six. Number six is called dilation and evacuation. I want you to listen to this. This is the procedure that is most commonly used in America today. Forceps with sharp metal jaws are used to grasp the parts of the developing baby, which are then twisted and torn away. In other words, what they're doing is they're ripping an arm off here and a leg off of here and pulling it out of the womb. This continues until the entire baby's body is removed from the womb. Because the baby's skull has been hardened by bone by this time, the skull must sometimes be compressed or crushed to facilitate removal. Now, what I want you to do on our church's website, we have a link for the testimony that was given by Dr. Andrew Levitino before the Judiciary Committee of the U.S. House of Representatives on May 17th of this year, 2012, about this particular procedure. This procedure where they rip the baby limb from limb and crush the skull. And this is one of the things that these abortionists can do. That is at least as bad as the stuff that the Nazis were doing in the death camps during World War II in Auschwitz and Treblinka. Same type of attitude, same type of conscience allows an individual to do that. Next item I want to talk about is partial birth abortion. It's used in the fifth and sixth months of pregnancy and sometimes later. Let me read a description of it. Guided by ultrasound, the abortionist reaches into the uterus, grabs the unborn baby's leg with forceps, and pulls the baby into the birth canal, except for the head, which is deliberately kept just inside the womb. Now, I want to remind you, at this point in abortion, the baby is alive. And they're always alive before the abortion. They're alive from the point of conception. But they are alive and kicking, literally kicking here. Then the abortionist punctures the base of the baby's skull with a long surgical scissors or forceps. And then they take those where they punch that into that baby's skull, they expand that hole out that they've made in the skull, and they insert a catheter which is connected to a powerful suction machine that sucks the baby's brains out. The abortionist then withdraws the now collapsed skull from the uterus. Think about that. Stop and consider what they have done. I believe that the reason that they use partial birth abortion and leave the head in is, number one, so they will not be held legally accounted for the death of somebody that is alive. If they come out of the womb, if they're delivered, then they are considered to be alive under the legal system, and they could be prosecuted otherwise for it. I believe the other reason that they do it is because they don't want to hear the screams of the baby as they murder that baby. Partial birth abortion is wicked, folks. It's of the devil. It's satanic. I don't know how strongly I can state that. And the majority of the people that are in the Obama administration are in favor of this monstrosity. Your president, President Barack Hussein Obama, is in favor of partial birth abortions. And if you vote him back in, then you are voting in favor of baby killings. The last abortion procedure I want to talk about is hysterotomy. It's similar to a C-section or a cesarean section that is performed to deliver a baby, an emergency delivery of a baby. This method is used if chemical methods such as salt poisoning or RU486 fail. Incisions are made in the abdomen and the uterus, and the baby, the placenta, and the amniotic sac are removed. It's nothing more than a normal C-section, and they're killing a baby. That's wicked, folks. It's ungodly. There's nothing else that you can say about it. And by the way, the RU486 procedure is very dangerous to the mother. Here's some of the side effects of RU486. Heavy prolonged bleeding, pain, nausea, diarrhea, vomiting, infection, fatigue, fainting, skin conditions, anemia, asthenia, hot flashes, heart palpitation, breast conditions, mood changes, and thirst. Now, the National Right to Life Committee has documented the deaths of 11 mothers from this partial birth abortion procedure. 11 of them. Now, one of the mothers that was involved in that was 16 years old. What if you had a 16-year-old daughter out there that went to have a partial birth abortion and she died as a result of that? By the way, I want to tell you that if you push your child to have an abortion, if you're a parent and you push for that, you're wicked and ungodly. You're wicked and you're ungodly. You do not have the right to take away the life of a child in the womb. And you are guilty, if you push it, you are guilty of being an accessory to murder in the eyes of God. Now let's talk a little bit about the growth of the baby in the womb. And I don't know if I'm going to have time to get into it this week, but I am going to talk about the, does abortion cause the baby pain? And it does, believe me, folks. Now, some facts about the growth of the baby in the womb. In day one, fertilization, all human chromosomes are present. Unique human life begins. In day six, the embryo begins implanting in the uterus. Day 22, the heart begins to beat with the child's own blood, often a different blood type than the mother's. Week 5, eyes, legs, hands begin to develop. Week 6, brain waves are detectable. A mouth, The lips are present. Fingers are forming. Week 7, eyelids and toes form. Nose is distinct. The baby is kicking and swimming. Week 8, every organ is in place. Bones and fingerprints begin to form also. In weeks 9 and 10, teeth begin to form, fingernails develop, and the baby can turn their head and frown. And in week 11, the baby can grasp objects placed in the hand. And in week 17, a baby can have REM sleep. And what REM sleep is if you walk by an adult and they are sound asleep and you see their eyes moving, that word REM means rapid eye movement sleep. When people get into a certain stage of sleep, those eyes start moving. Babies in the womb do the very, very same thing. Are they alive at this particular point in time? Absolutely. From the day of conception, they are alive. Now, I've got just a few minutes left, and I'm going to try to cover some of the things. Does abortion cause the baby pain? One of the most important questions that is almost never discussed is whether an unborn baby can feel pain. An unborn baby has less legal protection in the United States of America than what animals do that are taken to a slaughterhouse. Did you know that? They have less legal protection than the animals. The United States government requires so-called humane treatment of animals that go into slaughterhouses and the methods that they use to kill the animal with. That babies in America don't have that same protection. While an unborn child cannot verbally express the pain she experiences, all biological indicators suggest unborn children are capable of feeling pain by at least 20 weeks. And it's a whole lot earlier than that. At 18 days, they have a brain. The brain begins to take shape only 18 days after conception. By 20 days, the brain has already differentiated into its three sections. At week 5, pain receptors are there. 4 or 5 weeks after conception, pain receptors appear around the mouth, followed by nerve fibers, which carry stimuli to the brain. At 6 weeks, the baby's cortex is formed. And by the way, the cortex has been determined to be the center of the pain for adults. At 8 weeks, the thalamus develops, functioning as the main relay center. What it does is it relays the pain signals back and forth to the brain. And then at weeks 14 to 18, the nerve tracts are formed. And in week 18, nerve tracts connecting the spinal cord and the thalamus are established. And then you got that route for that pain back and forth there. And then at 18 weeks, there's stress hormones. These stress hormones are released by an unborn child, get this, injected by a needle, just as they are when adults feel pain. A lot of medical procedures, when a mother's under care, require injections, and these babies respond to that. Are they alive? Do they feel pain? Absolutely, they feel pain. And then at 20 weeks, all the pain receptors are in place. I'm going to close out there in dealing with the issue of the baby's pain, but I want to tell you this, that a perinatologist, several of them have made some statements that in next week's teaching and next week's sermon, we're going to talk a little bit about that in relation to the baby's pain. There is a bill in the United States Congress now requiring notification of the mother of that pain. And I want to close out there and thank you for joining us this morning. And we'll, on next week's broadcast, we'll continue our study in abortion. Thank you again for joining us, and God bless you.